Welcome back, Mighty Vandals, to Tubs at the Club, brought to you by Snake River Stampede Whiskey. We are the Idaho Vandals affiliate on the Big Sky Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dallas Hammer, joined today by co-host and producer, it's Martin. Martin, how you doing, man?
Doing good. This was a game Idaho won, and that's all I really much can say about it. All right, good night, everybody.
We could wrap up the instant reaction show right here. We are coming to you actually instantly. It is less than a half hour after Idaho beats Cal Poly 42-14 on the road. Idaho put this one away really almost immediately. Took just a couple plays on the first drive to jump out to a 7-0 lead. Ended at 7-0 after the first quarter, but you could tell the whole game that there was just too much of a talent discrepancy.
I do want to quickly say, like, this comment does sum it up. Not going to lie. Kind of a boring blowout. We are getting spoiled. It was a boring 28-point win, it seemed like.
Couldn't agree more. And I think, Martin, I think that's where I want to go, is just with your general thoughts on the game. See Hansen with the one saying we're getting spoiled with these blowouts. It is very true. Guys, this was if for some reason you're listening to this and you haven't watched the game, it was a pretty boring game in my eyes. But, Martin, initial takeaways of Idaho's 28-point victory.
It felt like the Lamar game, but without the excitement of it being the first football game of the season. It just kind of, it felt like after that first drive, yeah, I know they had some little hiccups in the little first quarter, but still, it never felt like Idaho was going to give it up. And I'm like, I was kind of telling Dallas beforehand, I forgot to even turn the game back on when it got to the second half. I was kind of like, oh shit, the game's back on now.
Yeah, and honestly, Martin, you wouldn't be the only person that's done that. Obviously, I did the same thing. I missed the first couple of plays because I have Apple TV, so I have the ESPN app allows me to put four games in, so I can put Idaho in one big box and put three other games in little ones and switch them around and all that stuff. I was absolutely more interested in other football games and completely forgot Idaho to come back from halftime. Had to rewind and catch most of that first drive because, guys, this was over, honestly, from the start. Idaho, four plays, 67 yards. Took 2 minutes and 15 seconds to drive down the field. I apologize to our YouTubers. My camera has gone because my computer's a piece of shit. Sorry about that. You're going to have to look at, for some reason, it shows me as a picture of Martin. So now you've got live Martin and throwback Martin on the screen. But Idaho jumping out to that touchdown, missed a field goal on the second possession. Unfortunately, Chavez's kick just drifted left on him. And then Idaho touchdown, interception, touchdown, touchdown, and that's how the first half went. So Idaho jumping out to 28 points in the first half. It really was just kind of a boring game. You could tell Idaho, it really honestly felt like they kind of sleptwalked a little bit to me. Felt like you could tell after those first four plays, like, oh, this is how this game is going to go. Cal Poly just does not have the horses that they are going to need to be able to hang with.
Yeah, I know I know in the Discord, and we were joking, like, how pedestrian, how, like, we were sarcastically saying, like, how bad some of the stuff was Idaho was doing on that touchdown drive. Oh, and Dallas is gone now. This is fun. I am rambling. Oh, he's back. We're back. Okay, we're good.
Who knows? Computer issues all over here. But, Martin, so obviously we've mentioned that this game was kind of boring, which means we don't have a ton to talk about because, again, this was a game, obviously, we made the jokes. I think I said 69-7. We predicted a very large blowout. I think you and Brian both had Idaho over 50 in this one. Didn't end up being that, but the score wasn't really reflective of what went on. So, Martin, what did go well today for Idaho? Obviously, I think we're going to have a lot more that went well than didn't.
Victory. I think for me, the big thing was just to kind of have, like, I was going to take away from where I'm going to pick as my offensive MVP. But it was good to see other players, not the playmakers, making plays today. Not like kind of just show, hey, it's not just JJ, Hayden, Vonnie, and Anthony Woods. There are still other players that you have to account for on Idaho's offense.
Yeah, you look at the stats here. McCoy, 12 of 21, 198 yards and a touchdown and interception, only completed 57% of his passes. Did not have anywhere near the game that I think people are expected to see from Giovanni. But I do think Idaho, it looked very much like they went into this with the game plan of we're going to try to throw the ball as much as we can with the first stringers, try to get guys some pass blocking reps, and try to improve that pass blocking a little bit, because obviously we've seen the run blocking has been incredible. Obviously Anthony Woods having a National Player of the Week kind of week last week, didn't end up having anywhere near a week like that. Only 10 carries. He did have 69 yards and a touchdown. So great average there, ended up with a 40 yard rush in that, but we didn't see there's the duster on the screen for anybody. Brian is not here, which means Brian's duster is not here, but we do have one thrown up on the screen for our loyal followers. When you look at the box score, Martin, Nick Romano ended up leading the team in carries and rushing, 13 carries, 77 yards and a touchdown. Hayden Hatton swallowed up again, 5 catches, 61 yards, but he did have a beautiful trick play touchdown that honestly, he just kind of chucked it into the end zone. I don't blame him. The game was totally over. Dwyer had been held like crazy. It was going to be pass interference no matter what. Hucked it up there, and Dwyer made an incredible catch in the end zone. Jordan Dwyer, shout out, 2 touchdowns today. But it really was a game where it wasn't the typical Idaho scores 45 on the legs of Woods and the arm of McCoy. That was not what we saw today.
Oh, yeah. It just kind of felt like it almost felt like after that first touchdown, they just kind of took the foot off the gas and just kind of let their talent just kind of cruise control to victory.
Yeah, that's absolutely what it felt like. Defensively, Idaho ended up with 3 takeaways, so that was really nice as well. That was my, I think, big takeaway from today of what went well. Defense did get a handful of turnovers. Again, guys, if you watch the game, you can go back and watch any of these games on ESPN+. Cal Poly, not a good team. Breaking news, this just in case anybody didn't know, Cal Poly, not particularly good at football. Honestly, just looked outmatched from the start. Sam Heward didn't play. We spoke in the preview show that Sam Heward, yeah, 5-star guy, but the talent really hasn't shown through yet. That's why he's here at Cal Poly instead of, you know, like Quinn Ewers. Obviously, Texas lost today to Oklahoma. Sorry for the spoiler alert if anybody didn't catch that today. But Quinn Ewers, 5-star that went to Ohio State, transfers to Texas, becomes the starting quarterback there. That's typically what you see with 5-star guys, is they bounce around the top programs, or if they can't hack it at the top program, they slowly start moving through the ranks of FBS you don't normally see. Can't get on the field at the family alma mater, so all the way to Cal Poly we go. So Bo Kelly, their backup quarterback, started his second game ever, didn't look particularly impressive. So Idaho's defense did have some moments where they looked very good, got a couple turnovers. But breaking news, the duster is here. It's on the screen now. Brian rocking a sick Jason Eck visor. And Brian, you actually just made it just in time. I was just about to jump into an ad read for your favorite whiskey. If you would like to take that on and then provide us with your thoughts about the Cal Poly game.
Well, dude, that's why I came here. I came here to talk about Snake River Stampede Canadian whiskey. Look, you can't go wrong. There's 2 options. You either get Snake River Stampede, $25.95 for a fifth, or if you're really celebrating, I would not call a Cal Poly win a Snake River Stampede 1915 small batch night. I'd stick with just a standard Snake River Stampede. But either way, you got double barrel finish on both whiskeys. The Stampede is Firstville bourbon, then Oloroso sherry cask. If you go up to the 1915 small batch, Firstville bourbon, then ex-Canadian whiskey casks. Either one, fantastic buy at Idaho State liquor stores. If you haven't given it a shot this year, you need to. It is the official whiskey and official Canadian whiskey of Tubbs of the Club. Give them a shot, Snake River Stampede. God damn it, Dallas. Nice muting.
Dallas, you're muted.
Right away.
Motherfucker. That's my fault. Anyways, Brian, thank you for the perfect timing on jumping in on that ad read. You just missed the segment where we asked each other what went well today. So, Brian. So
I was listening. So I just got back from a Halloween party. That's why I'm wearing my Idaho Vandal getup. I was watching the game anyway. I was like, oh, shit, I got to throw something on. Where's a Vandal visor and a shirt at the end? And my daughter said I was going as Idaho, Idaho, go, go, go. And that's it. So, okay, what went well? Well, look, Idaho is playing Cal Poly. What were they going to do, lose? So I heard you guys say earlier, Dallas, which I don't know if you're you're purposely on mute or not. I felt the same. Early on, Idaho had that first touchdown drive, 4 plays, and it felt like Idaho, I don't mean this as a put down or anything, it felt like Idaho's heart wasn't in it right after that drive, because the talent gap is an ocean. Jason Eck has been pretty open both in how Idaho's games have gone the last few seasons, and just if you listen to him in press conferences and post games, he's not a fan of running up the score in his mind needlessly. Look, winning 42-14, there's style points there, but I don't think Jason Eck cares about, you know, putting up 50 or something like that, because Idaho easily last 2 weeks could have put up 50 both weeks. Who cares? So Idaho comes away with a healthy win. So from what I saw, and I missed a lot of the second half, guys, Idaho, we got a healthy dose of Jack Lane. Dallas, you and I both talked about how that to us would be a win if Javonte McCoy doesn't have to play that much. Hayden Hatton is still not, has still not yet broken that record. But honestly, let me talk about the usage of Hayden Hatton as what I feel is emblematic of what the game was. You know, Dallas, you brought up Hatton on the game with, what was it, five catches? Yeah, Hayden Hatton, five catches, 61 yards. Felt like he got five of those catches in the first, what, two drives for Idaho?
Yeah. Sure felt like it. We'll have the stats department double check that.
Yeah, but the overwhelming majority of Hatton's catches came early. And then other guys got a turn. That felt like that was kind of the goal of Idaho, is get away with a convincing win, but put 0% risk or 0% unnecessary risk that the guys who are gonna win some important games for Idaho are put on the shelf because of injuries. In some ways, this felt like Idaho's version of a trap game energy wise. Because like early on, you know, Dallas, you can tell me if I'm wrong here in the second half, but there's a little trouble with tackling early on. And if Cal Poly was not Cal Poly, I think I saw about seven or eight dropped passes from Cal Poly receivers that were catchable balls. And I bet, you know, Orich is going to say this was not Idaho's best effort. But who gives a shit? Idaho's at the point where they're top five, like real top five, and they blew out Cal Poly without their best effort. I mean, being able to murder a team when your focus maybe wasn't as good as it's going to be against Montana or Montana State. Like, that is a hallmark, I think, of a good team. Good teams, even great teams, don't hit home runs every single week. Hell, last year, Montana State made the national final and almost lost to NAU. Teams have relatively speaking, not their best weeks. And Idaho beat the shit out of Cal Poly. So Idaho leaves with five wins, two more for the playoffs. Again, Idaho's playing. At this point, no one's worried about playoffs. We're worried about seeding position, and Vandals took care of business. So to me, that's what went well.
Yeah, Brian, just to hit on a couple of those points, Hayden Hatton's final catch came with just over a minute left in the second quarter, did not have another catch in the second half. So three catches in the first quarter, two in the second quarter. You mentioned kind of what didn't go well. The tackling, obviously, I think is something that is still an improvement.
Relatively speaking, of course.
Exactly. I mean, we're talking about, again, a team that is very comfortably in the top three in the FCS right now. Like, yeah, by the end of the year, maybe Idaho loses to Montana State, maybe slip down a little bit in the order. But we're talking about a team that realistically, if everything goes as it should, this is a team with a bye week. So
can I say one more thing that went well, because I won't be on here the whole time, guys, is Idaho finally punctuated. They were able to capitalize on turnover opportunities and still missed a few. Forced three Cal Poly turnovers. Honestly, from what I saw, could have easily been five. But Idaho just had not, they just hadn't been catching picks. Hey, Idaho turned some of those opportunities into turnovers. We'd been waiting for that. Here's to hoping this matters into next week.
Yeah, guys, Idaho ended up with 18 guys with tackles tonight. Again, We got midway through the third quarter and Idaho essentially had the entire second string in. This game could have absolutely been in the 60s or 70s if Idaho had put the foot down, but the gas came off when it was 35-7 midway through the third quarter and essentially just kind of mailed it in from there. So Martin, I'm going to jump in. You've been on the shelf a little bit. Any reactions to what Brian has said, or would you like to jump right to what didn't go well for the Vandals today?
I got no reaction to what Brian said. I think for me, like, as far as stuff that didn't go well, I maybe wish there had been a little more complete game the first half, not just nailing it after the first score, but I'm just kind of nitpicking at things now, so I got a whole lot of nothing to complain about.
Brian, I know you weren't able to watch most of the second half, but any initial thoughts on what didn't go well for the Vandals today?
The only thing that I'd say it didn't go well is I kind of touched on it a second ago is Cal Poly. Now look, Cal Poly, the one thing they kind of do well, or the one thing they don't suck at, is accruing yards through the air. That is something that Cal Poly can do, even with backup quarterback Bo Kelly, who Bo Kelly did not look like a catastrophe today. But even with a backup, that if Cal Poly is going to be competitive, it's because they're getting yards through the air. And the thing to me that didn't go well is truly there were what I saw between 5 and 8 passes that bounced off of Cal Poly receivers' hands. And I just say the reason I say that that did not go well is if I don't think Rob Orich is going to be that stoked about the overall effort. If that many catches and all those catches would have been first downs. If Idaho's playing a better team that pulls down those catches, that could change the trajectory of the game. So I guess that itself, that this wasn't the best effort out of the secondary. It's obviously nitpicking because Idaho outclassed Cal Poly. So we're only interpreting this as in like, hey, what if Cal Poly didn't suck? Like, what if this was a playoff? What if this was Eastern Washington's Kikoa Visperis? How would you feel about the number of potential receptions that could have happened? Didn't feel that great about it, but if you ask the follow-up of, are you concerned about that heading into Montana? No, because we've seen the secondary look good. I think this was truly a game that once Idaho had the verifiable proof after the first drive that Cal Poly was outclassed, the actual competition for Idaho was with themselves in staying focused in a game that was never going to be close whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree with most of those points, Brian. To kind of give a little bit more analysis, I thought that we've spoken about it at the beginning of the show. The offensive line struggled today. Only registered 3 quarterback hurries for the Cal Poly defense, but that is an absolute bullshit stat. McCoy had to move around a lot tonight. Ended up with 3 sacks of McCoy tonight. Elijah Ponder with 2 sacks on the Cal Poly defense. One of the few names that we mentioned on the preview show as, hey, this guy is like a legitimately good talent here. He had 6 tackles and 2 sacks, 2 other quarterback hurries. Not a great night pass protecting for McCoy, but like you said, Brian, it really did feel after the first drive that this was a mental struggle more than it was a physical struggle, and a mental struggle in that, hey, this is a game that we are supposed to win. This is a quote unquote trap game against a team that should have no chance attempting to compete in this game. And realistically, that's what happened. Yes, I'm sure the coaches are going to have a bunch of film to go back and critique a bunch of different plays where, hey, maybe effort wasn't right here, or maybe technique wasn't right here. Maybe things just got sloppy and forgotten. There were definitely moments tonight that were very sloppy. I think if you play a game as sloppy as this against Montana State in a couple weeks, it's probably not going to go super well for Idaho. But this is one of those get right type of games where you do go in knowing, hey, we're just going to try to focus on our execution, not think about the opponent, not think about the quality, however high or low they might be, and just try to execute and do Vandal football the way Vandal football is supposed to be done.
I got a question for you, and I think I know the answer. I just want to hear you say it. I brought up a little bit of pass defense. You brought up pass protection. Of those two areas, which are you more concerned about in a generalizable sense? If we only focus on today's performance.
Only focusing on today's performance, I'm more concerned about the pass blocking. Certainly more concerned with the pass blocking. Again, unless you're Weber State, who have have no ability to get any sort of offensive output whatsoever. They just lost to NAU tonight. They had under 150 offensive yards at midway through the fourth quarter. Like, just not a whole lot going on there. Unless you're Weber State, you will find ways to produce yards. It's going to happen unless you are that thoroughly outclassed that you shouldn't be in the division of football that you're in. Cal Poly is a team that is able to throw the ball. Yes, they had a backup quarterback in. Yes, they dropped a bunch of passes. But I'm not as concerned with the pass defense because you did see Marcus Harris had 3 pass breakups. He dropped 2 interceptions. I thought the stars in the secondary looked good enough that if this was a game that the secondary performs like this, you're thinking that it's probably a punch-for-punch game against Montana State or against another top team in the FCS playoffs. and you're hoping that a guy like Marcus Harris just makes the big play at the end as you just try to survive the punches. I feel much more confident that the secondary can survive those punches than I did watching Giovanni McCoy have to roll out of the pocket on almost every throw.
Okay. That was where I expected you'd land, because one of the things I just didn't touch on is when I talk about the eight or so drop receptions. Eight might be a high number, Dallas, but truly, like, that's the number. It felt like a lot of passes dropped off Cal Poly Dude's hands. But a good amount of those were also second half, and the game was over, and it was not Idaho first stringers. So, like, if I'm talking to dude off the ledge, that's what I'd say here about why it's not generalizable is, hey, it was a blowout. There's a lot of second, third stringers who played. That's why you should not care about that performance. Look at Idaho's other games for how you're going to analyze the secondary. I'm with you in the pass protection of the offensive line. It's been a work in progress, and it certainly has had moments looking great. I mean, hell, Eck on the Skyline Sports show, the Skyline Sports Vandal Hour this last week, Colton Nuanez brought up the offensive line having its best week for two consecutive weeks, talking about the Sacramento State game, then the Eastern game. Yeah, Eck's not going to call this the third consecutive best week of the season for the O-line. And I did feel that early, one first stringers were still in. Giovanni McCoy just had to move around more than he should have relative to a Cal Poly. And you have to expect that it's going to look, even against Montana, Montana's not some apex team in the Big Sky, but they're 5-1. Does have a single loss on the season. They just beat UC Davis. You have to expect that Bobby Hauk is going to look at the tape from this game and think that he'll be able to get pressure on Giovanni McCoy. So that's, I guess that's still what I'm a little bit anxious about for Idaho, looking into the future, looking into Idaho against better teams. But otherwise, not really much to complain about in the game. I mean, they beat the shit out of Cal Poly, and was there even a second you were concerned about the outcome of this game, Dallas?
No, Martin and I both mentioned that at the beginning of the show. There was no point in being worried about this game. This was honestly kind of a boring game. Both of us missed the start of the second half and had to rewind because this game was over, honestly, after that first drive. But Brian, it has been 7 minutes since you told me you had about 5 minutes. I want to give you a chance to give any final thoughts before you do have to go back to your family.
Now, dude, guys, just tune in tomorrow for the Big Sky Conference power rankings, which I have to send out all those goddamn links in the next few seconds to make sure people remember to vote. But otherwise, homecoming next week. I'm honestly at this point already more interested in talking about homecoming than the Cal Poly game. I'm going to go watch. I'll rewatch it. So I get all my Idaho snaps in, but we are Idaho's 5-1. We're officially more than halfway through the season, guys. So if you haven't gotten on board, you're probably not listening to the show if you haven't gotten on board, but if you haven't bought your ticket, the tickets that you can, go ahead and do it. I'll let Dallas take you guys out with one of our...
Honestly, you guys should probably start getting in line now. The lines are going to be fucking long.
Jesus, yeah, good God. That's one of the things I've been telling people for the homecoming game is, good Lord. Okay, Dallas, over under before we do Hughes River. Will facilities at U of I have put it together enough to have the line move above that 0.01 miles per hour it was for Sacramento State?
No, not a snowball's chance
no,
in hell, right?
Not a chance. No, not yeah. The game kicks off at 7. It's already, as of this morning,
7:30.
Thank you, Martin. Game kicks off at 7:30. As of this morning, there were 300 tickets left. I'm probably getting in line at 6:30 at latest.
Yeah, this is going to be it's going to be a nightmare to get into this game, guys. Make sure if you are going down to Moscow or going up to Moscow or going left or right to Moscow, wherever the hell you're coming in from.
Or some lateral move to Moscow.
Yes, thank you, Martin. If you're making a lateral move to Moscow, you better make sure to get in line early because the Pluto doors and the ESPN doors are both going to have crazy long lines. Brian, thank you for joining us. I know, guys, we just kind of went from what wasn't going well to just Brian's general reactions, but you know what does go well? Booking trips through Hughes River Expeditions. If you are looking for a great all-inclusive week-long vacation, do not look past your backyard. Hughes River Expeditions has been Vandal-owned and operated since 1976, and they're ready to take you on the vacation of a lifetime. Enjoy a multi-day trip down the Middle Fork of the Salmon, the main Salmon River of No Return, the Salmon River Canyons, or the Selway. You can even see the pictures right on the screen as Martin's presenting them for you. Check out special trips like one to see the Perseid Meteor Shower. Camp on pristine beaches. Run amazing whitewater. Hike scenic trails. Spot wildlife. Soak in the beautiful natural hot springs. And like always, fish some of the most remote stretches of river in the entire country. The fishing is not better than doing it with Hughes River Expeditions. Just bring your clothes and they'll handle everything else. Grab a paddle, catch dinner, and ride the bull all throughout the Gem State. Call them now, 800-262-1882, or check them out at HughesRiver.com. And perfectly timed Colin Hughes in the comment section. Cannot wait for next weekend. Bart Holt saying he's going to be tailgating 2 hours before kickoff. C. Hansen saying planning on being inside the stadium at 7 o'clock. Time to start acting like a real program and not just walk up 10 minutes before game time. Got to actually plan to get into the stadium. Guys, homecoming. We're about to wrap this show up so we can focus really heavily on homecoming. But Martin, you've been on the shelf a long time. MVPs.
For offense or defense?
Why not both?
I think for offense, I'm going to take the super duper obvious one and go Jordan Dwyer. It was kind of cool to see someone other than JJ or Hayden Hatton or Anthony Woods or Jelani McCoy have a good game. It was nice to see someone who's probably going to play a key role once both those two, once JJ and Hayden are gone, like step up and have two scores. That's who my offensive player of the game is. And I'm like on defense, I'm going to go with I'm going to do a little stat reading here just because I'm going to be honest, defense is not my best thing. I'm just going to go with Marcus Harris just because he had four pass breakups and I don't think he gave up a lot of big plays today. Those are my two MVPs.
Yeah, so I do want to give a shout out in the comment section. Ryan McGovern saying, is U of I the best team in the state this year? Not a question on that one, Ryan. Absolutely, Idaho is the best. Boise State just finished a comeback against the previously 1-4 San Jose State Spartans. San Jose was absolutely brutalizing Boise State in the first half of that, and Boise State barely came back to beat, again, an absolute dog shit Mountain West team. So the Boise State luster is finally wearing off, guys. Idaho's trending upward, Boise State trending downward. Idaho State, I guess, is trending upward, but again, going from neutral to first gear is obviously trending upward, even if it's not that much. So it is what it is. Back on topic here, Martin, I think those are the perfect selections. Jordan Dwyer, absolutely, to me, looked, he only had the three catches. He only had three targets, so we caught all three of his targets, but Jordan Dwyer absolutely looks like he's going to step in and be a star the second Hatton and Jackson are gone. And it feels to me very much like, I'm not saying he's going to be a 10-year NFL guy or you know, offensive player of the year or Super Bowl MVP, but it feels very similar to watching Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp was famously a redshirt freshman on an Eastern team that was absolutely loaded at receiver. Greg Hurd, Brandon Kaufman, Nick Edwards. They had like three guys that like had little cups of tea in NFL, like, preseason camps. And then Cooper Kupp ended up, the redshirting rules were different back then. You couldn't play four games, so he just sat for an entire year, and then all of a sudden he walks on the field and he's better than any of those three guys. Not saying Dwyer's going to immediately be better than those three guys, not saying again that he's going to have an NFL career like Cooper Kupp, but you can see it every time Dwyer gets the ball. The guy is electric, the guy is terrifying. He is going to power this offense very, very, very much sooner rather than later. If we're going to go with somebody other than Dwyer, just for S's and G's, I thought Nick Romano looked really good. He had the one wheel route that was a really great catch. I love seeing running backs on the wheel route. My favorite thing. Shout out to anybody still playing NCAA football. It was honestly the most deadly route in those games was the shark wheel.
Super broken.
Super broken. So broken. But Romano also 13 carries for 77 yards and a touchdown. It was nice to see again. Woods only had the 10 carries. Romano was in for most of the game in the first half before it went to the secondary and the second string. It was just really nice to see again. The Romano renaissance has been incredible. So cool to see him come back for again a super senior year after being buried on the depth chart in the last few years. coming in and obviously showing he's still got the talent to be a really good player in the Big Sky. I would give him a game ball if it weren't going to Jordan Dwyer. Defensively, I got to go with Marcus Harris as well. Not a particularly outstanding effort from the defense, but again, Marcus Harris did have a handful of breakups, did end up dropping two interceptions. Just absolutely looked like, again, Taylor Cash called it out in the comments, the Sultan of SWAT. The guy is, I think, the best corner at this level of football. Honestly, should have a good long pro career in front of him.
Might you also want to say a shout out to the defense for getting like a couple interceptions today. It felt like forever since we've had a few.
Yes, absolutely. Kyron Beecham had an interception, which was nice. And then shout out to Zach Kratzer, defensive lineman. Always love it when a fat guy gets a pick or a touchdown. As a guy who's definitely not in shape to be a college athlete, love seeing it when the big guys that are just out there to be the size, love seeing them get to make some
highlights. And also plays. The weirdest phone. I don't know what was it. I forget their quarterback's name, but just how he just kind of dropped it. It looked like in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
just completely dropped it and got a third free turn takeaway for Idaho. So I think they were plus two today. Yeah, plus two in the turnover battle today.
That sounds right. Stat department will correct us on that at some point, I'm sure. Yes, you are correct. Plus two on the turnover differential, which is, again, really nice to see because haven't seen a whole lot of that recently. Andrew Dennis shouting out, Marcus Harris did have that pretty bad PI, though. That is true. I try not to hold PI against a guy because, I mean, playing corner, the number one rule is you're going to get toasted. Like, it's just going to happen. Darrell Revis had...
And there was also some pretty dog shit calls that did not go Idaho's way to this game. Some pretty shitty holding calls on a touchdown pass.
It was Big Sky officiating to the max. Obviously, we don't complain a whole lot about the refs here because I personally believe that bad calls go pretty much both ways at this level. If you've watched NFL officiating, you know how absolutely terrible that is. And those guys are so many levels above Big Sky officiating that it tends to wash out in the end. But not a great showing there from that. But Martin, it is time because I teased everybody that homecoming is coming soon. So if you're looking forward to homecoming, make sure you're purchasing your tickets for the second ever Tap the Keg Brewfest. It's Friday, October 13th. It's 3:30 to 7:30. So if you're coming in Moscow early for homecoming festivities, make sure you get some tickets. The Brewfest is going to be at the Dan O'Brien Track and Field Complex. It's right there in the hub of all the rest of the homecoming festivities. There's local beer. There's regional beer. There's going to be ciders, seltzers, Oktoberfest-inspired food. There's going to be live music. It's going to be a great party. Early pricing ended already, but you can still go purchase tickets at go.uidaho.edu/tapthekeg. We'll throw that in the podcast description. I think it's going to be a comment in the YouTube, assuming Martin and I don't screw it up, because I know I've definitely done it. I think Martin has done it too. It just sometimes the hyperlinking stuff messes up. But again, go.uidaho.edu/tapthekeg. Get your tickets for the Tap the Keg Brewfest. Martin, the Kibby Dome is going to be rocking next week, but how do you feel right now after this admittedly sleepwalking victory through Cal Poly? How do you feel going into the Little Brown Stein next week?
I still feel good. I mean, if there's a game, if Idaho's going to sleepwalk to a 28-point victory, then can't really complain about too much. It feels weird to be complaining that they were sleepwalking and it was still like a 28-point victory for Idaho, but still, that was I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like they can beat Montana. I'm not looking forward 3 weeks from now, but still, it feels like this Idaho team feels like they can beat anybody in the conference and probably anybody in the nation.
Yeah, Ron Lowney in our YouTube chat is not going to love hearing this, but if Idaho is going to knock Montana State off of the top of the Big Sky, I mean, everything's lining up pretty well to do it. This is again, the offensive line is going to have to come ready to play that week because Montana State, again, that offensive line is insane. Their defensive line is just as good. Like, Idaho's lines are going to have to come ready for this battle, but it does feel like the 28th, I don't want to look ahead past Montana, but we're looking at the 28th. Like, that might be the de facto Big Sky Conference championship game. Again, got to get through Montana first, but again, Little Stein is already in the Kibby Dome. No reason it can't stay there a second year, especially Montana. Like Brian said, Montana is 5-1. But Montana certainly does not have the quality of victories that Idaho does. Again, you're talking the victory over Sac State. You're talking the victory over Eastern Washington, victory over FBS Nevada. Montana does certainly not have that. They've looked a little bit better in recent weeks. But, Martin, I would feel better, I think, coming off of the Eastern win and gritting that out, as sloppy and weird as that win was. I might have felt a little bit better going into Montana rather than this week. But, again, this is just a tough game to learn anything from, because it's pretty obvious that Idaho just didn't give it full throttle, which is fine. If you're going to sleepwalk through a game, yeah, coaches are probably not going to love that, but at least you did it against Cal Poly, honestly, the worst team on the schedule. I mean, I would love to say Idaho State is the worst team on the schedule, but they're not worse than Cal Poly. They are certainly a better team than Cal Poly. Martin, we're almost at 40 minutes, so let's wrap this up. Any final thoughts before we call it a night?
Not really. It felt boring. I'm not gonna lie. It felt like I said this earlier, but it really truly felt like the Lamar game minus the fanfare of being the first week, and it was boring. But hey, they got out of there. Yes, some positions did not look good today, but I think, as the coaches have shown, and week to week they'll fix everybody up and get them playing right. But holy, this team is looking good.
Yeah, guys, this Idaho team is for real. I know that we've talked a lot about like little things that can be corrected from this game, and we do that after every reaction show. We talk a lot about the things that can be corrected, but again, we're nitpicking over a team that is absolutely one of the best in this level, and honestly, probably better than a lot of FBS schools. And the only difference being, those FBS schools have more scholarships than Idaho on a talent-wise and on a coaching-wise level. I would put Idaho up against most schools in the group of five at this point. Idaho, the turnaround from what Paul Petrino had in that final year to Jason Eck midway through year two is absolutely outstanding. Shout out a couple of things I want to get through real quick. Shout out to Wax Party Pants. I saw him tweet on Twitter. Anybody remember that Idaho used to be terrible on the road? And that Paul Petrino's days, it was I wonder how bad we're going to fuck this one up. And instead, it was a 28-point victory that Idaho very obviously sleptwalked through.
And they covered, too.
Yeah, exactly, Martin. They covered. I don't know the last time I've seen that from Idaho.
Shout out to Montana Parlay said we're still like 5-0 or 6-0. We're like undefeated against the spread this year.
Yeah, this is great teams cover. Like, this is not something that we typically see out of Idaho. The other thing I wanted to give a quick shout out was, we didn't talk a bunch about it because the stats weren't necessarily insane. Like Jack Lane, 4 for 5, did have a touchdown pass, which was cool. Michael Graves had a catch. Mark Hamper got in there. Alex Moore got a catch. Jake Cox got a touchdown, which was great. He got it, obviously, with the starters. But we even saw Carlos Matheny and Art Williams both got in the game. Obviously, a bunch of guys on the defense and the offensive line, just a bunch of rotating in those youth guys. That was really nice to see. Again, that was the one thing we wanted to see out of Cal Poly, get out of there mostly healthy and get some experience for a lot of these young guys that are going to be playing in a couple years. So it was nice to see that. Martin, before we go, I do have to give a shout out to the only Tubbs, patreon.com/tubbsattheclub. Our game thread is maybe the best part of being a Patreon member. If I have an opinion, that is my opinion. The game thread is the best part about being a Patreon. Yes, sometimes we get some news that we get to break and keep it inside that thread, but the game thread is the best place to hang out. If you want to sit and talk Idaho football with people when they're in San Luis Obispo and none of us can afford to fly out there for a random Saturday to watch Idaho win by 28, hang out in the game thread. It was absolutely popping off all night long. Shout out to Taylor Cash saying that he thinks it's one of the best things about the Patreon. It's absolutely exploded this year. If you're looking for a place to hang out with people and talk Vandal football that isn't all Vandals, patreon.com/tubsattheclub. It can be yours for the cost of a cup of coffee. You can hang out, talk Vandal football with a bunch of people that love talking Vandal football. It's a great place to hang out. It's my favorite thing. It's a little bit obviously different on game days when a lot of people, including, again, Martin, myself, and Brian, are all going to the games. But especially on the away games, it's really awesome to just throw ESPN Plus lateral move on one screen, throw Discord up on the other, and just hang out and chat football. So Andrew Dennis jumping in. Game thread is fire. Sign up, y'all. It's awesome. Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate that. Martin, on Tuesday, I will not be here, unfortunately, but on Tuesday, it's time to preview the Little Brownstein. Yeah. So it's time
I believe there might be another guest. I can't remember if there is besides me and Brian.
I don't have confirmation of it, so I'm not going to say anything about it. I will let Brian tease it on his Twitter account if it comes to fruition. So might have a special guest stepping in for me. Unfortunately, work sometimes gets in the way. I won't be on next week's show or the following week. I know that it's the bye week, but won't be there
either. He says work, but we all know it's Nickelback.
It's Nickelback concerts. It's just, it's my thing. With that said, guys, it's time to put Cal Poly in the dust, or the duster, I should say. Little Brownstein next week, homecoming. If you're not excited for Vandal football, I don't know what the hell to tell you, because we're eating good right now, guys. Veggies was last year in the winter, the dark times. Right now, it has been steak every damn weekend. And if you can't appreciate that right now, I don't know what to tell you. So with that said, go Vandals.
Go Vandals.